Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte. This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies, and my guest today, I think it's fair to say, also love movies. It's Sunday, June 26, 2022, and my guests are Frank Castillo, David Earle, and Dan Merle. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hello.
let's meet everybody individually and alphabetically, starting with Comedy Central Roast Battle 2 champion, Frank Castillo is here. Hello, Frank.
What up, Doug? Great to see you and hear you.
Yeah, mostly hearing. We turn the cameras off and pretend like we're on old-timey radio or a four-way phone call, however you want to look at it.
Party line.
And, party line, and it's a party time. We had a great time last night in Bakersfield.
Of all places.
Of all the places, you'd look at a map and go, Bakersfield, probably not a great time. Turns out, surprisingly, a delightful time hanging out in Bakersfield.
Yeah, the beer was great. The crowd was really, really fun. It was actually a really solid venue. Me and Taylor played arcade games next door for like an hour and a half.
Yeah, we should say what these places are called. Timblor Brewing.
Mm-hmm.
Company, and you know, especially like if you're passing through Bakersfield, if you're driving along the grapevine one way or the other, and you pass through Bakersfield, this is a great place to stop off day or night. I'm guessing Timblor Brewing Company. It's a place where you just sit around and eat and drink, and there's giant vats of beer being made right there while you're sitting next to it.
Yeah, it was amazing.
And they had comedy, and they had a comedy show. So we had delicious beer and did some comedy, and everyone in the audience was drunk on beer and or trying to be. And it was a wonderful time. And thanks for being there, and thanks for keeping it together to do this today.
My pleasure. I did wake up pretty late today.
What's the name of that place next door to Timblor that you were playing the games at?
Oh, I cannot remember, but I won my wife a Yoda plushie about $50.
Oh, that's good. That's, I'm glad Disney's getting a proper plug.
Yeah.
That worked out good. All right. Well, thanks for being here, dude. My next guest, I'm so excited about this, from the movie that's in theaters now that goes by the name Brian and Charles. It's David Earle. Hello, David.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being
Would
here.
Would you have preferred the robot?
I got to tell you, I'm, you know, a little obsessed with robots and movie robots. And right. I appreciate you being here as the human side of the latest, the latest robot and person movie. I have not seen it yet. I'm excited to see it. All the way back from Sundance, people can't stop talking about it and raving about it.
Wow.
Wholesome is what they say all the time about it. Do you take that? Did you set out to make something wholesome?
Yeah, we did actually. And we made some changes in the edit. Cause they were a little bit disgusted. There's a point where Charles sort of dies for 10 minutes and vomits oil. We're like, oh, no one wants to look at that. But
I worked for E.T. though, didn't it?
Yeah, but the oil didn't look very good. Black oil.
People love sick E.T. And then he came back 10 minutes later. It was a real tearjerker. You're letting us get out of this movie without crying?
Yeah, well, there's another bit where the mouse crawled out of his mouth as well. That was horrible as well. He just kept vomiting every 10 minutes. Yeah.
Well, that is an interesting issue for robots, is should they even really be eating anything?
Yeah, well, he does. He seems to.
You know, they think they're human. They start eating and they don't have a digestive system and all that business, yeah. Right?
Yeah. We certainly didn't give any thought to that part of it. So, yeah, he just bunks stuff in his food and hope for into his mouth and hope for the best. Yeah.
Well, for our third guest today, we have a certified, we've actually done the paperwork, a certified fan of the film. And I think it's his first time on this show, which is shocking to me because he's a 6-time movie trivia schmodown champion. And his name is Dan Merle. Hey, Dan.
Hello. Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here. It is my first time. I'm glad the paperwork got through in time to be officially certified on the show. I was very concerned that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, it really is. I've got an amazing team that really pulled it all together, made it happen. We got patched into another country for this episode. I'm grateful that David has a nice connection and is also staying up late with us. So here's something nice for you to go to bed to after we're done here being stupid.
Yeah.
You can just lay there with the thoughts of what noted film lover Dan Merle has to say about Brian and Charles.
Oh my God. Okay.
I mean, it's
here we go. Here we go.
Should I go into it now? Cause
tell him to his face.
Can we do an hour of this?
It was one of my favorite. This is my first year I've ever done Sundance, and it's because they did it virtually. I've never been able to actually go, and I've never been on this. My first like full year with real movies coming out like all year that I've been a critic like independently. So I did Sundance virtually this year, and it's like there's like a list of endless possibilities. It was literally like 3 16-hour days straight of movies, and I was just picking movies, and I was looking at the list, and I saw Brian and Charles. And I have a great affinity for British comedy, number one, and silliness, number two. And I read it, and I'm just like, this sounds like it's right up my alley. And it very much was. But it's like, it's, you know, I feel like when people use that word, like, sweet, people think, like, it's somehow, like, lightweight. But it's like, it's just such a funny, sweet, like, hilarious movie. It's very much my style of comedy. And I did a meeting with some of my Patreon folks earlier today, actually, right before this. And it's come out in some theaters here in the U.S., but it's not like a super wide, like, you know, 4,000, you know, light year release. Cause you know, they had to have all of those empty theaters playing light year last week. And Brian and Charles could only, you know, have a very few of them. And I played a clip of Charles wanting to sit in the front When they're going into town, and it, I will tell you, it crushed. It killed. Like, people were just like, I have to go find this movie. So I'm very happy to spread the word about this movie because I love it so much. It's one of my favorites this year.
Well, thank you so much. Honestly, it's so nice to hear that.
It sounds like this movie, moves the game forward, as it were, for robot rights.
Yeah. It's very pro robot,
you know.
If you will.
It sounds very
like they're lovely,
really humane approach to robots. David, you co-wrote this movie and co-star in it.
Yeah.
And how much were you and everyone else involved? Is there any particular robot movies that inspired your robot situation?
I've been doing stand up in the UK as Brian, and he was like a terrible stand up comedian. That was the character. So I've been doing that for a while, Yes. I couldn't write any traditional jokes. I thought I'll just go on stage and make people feel uneasy for 20 minutes. And then I thought, oh, I'll do an internet radio show and make him like the world's worst phone-in host. So while I was doing that, the producer of the movie, Rupert, called in. He was too shy to talk. So he used this software, and one of the voices was Charles. So we started this relationship over Skype. And so I asked Rupert a question, and it takes sort of 20 seconds to reply. But it's quite fun just waiting that pregnant pause. And then while we were doing it, Chris, who's in the robot in the film, he was listening and really enjoyed it. He said, oh, we've got to do this live. Let me build the robot and we'll do some live gigs. So he built Charles over the course of like 9 minutes. And we did some festivals and... Yeah, so it was all Chris's. Chris thought he sounded like a professor, so he just got some wool and put it on a mannequin's head, attached that to a like a litter picker, and then that controls the mouth. And then Chris just got inside a cardboard box, and that was it. There's not a lot to it.
Yeah. Well, that's what I love, because I looked up after I saw the movie, I went back and realized that, like, there's, like you said, they've been live stuff and had done a short. And I love that, like, quote unquote, Hollywood Charles looks pretty much like regular Charles. Like, there wasn't like a Hollywood makeover. Like, it's so lo-fi. It's hilarious.
Well, we definitely wanted to have that thing where the audience are watching going, well, that's just a bloke in a box. Why am I watching this?
So we wanted to box, so funny.
Yeah. Like, I've seen some reviews saying, well, you can see it's like a human being's finger. I'm like, well, yeah. So we did sort of, we enhanced the box a little bit. It's a bit sturdier for the film, and we gave him a little bit of, something around his knees and his calves, but we wanted to keep it the same, so it just felt a bit cheeky. See if we can get away with it. Yeah. I mean, there were times when he walked on set as Charles, I was like, oh, fuck me. How did we get funding for this?
It's not like a day or two commitment, like your feature length committed to this idea. This guy in the box is going to be, people are going to buy into it.
Yeah, we definitely had moments where we were losing confidence on set. but because we made the short and that kind of went down well, and people seemed to buy into them and it, we were like, okay, just crack on.
Yeah, that definitely crossed. Must have helped a great deal, because if you just started with the feature length thing, you might have really had some doubts.
We would never have. No one would have funded it if it was. No chance.
It's a guy in a box. What are you talking about? Give us some money.
I know. We keep pinching ourselves that, you know, we got a script commission and we thought, well, okay, we got a script commission. It's never going to get made. And then, oh, it's getting made. And then lockdown hit. Oh, okay, ours is going to be the first one on the shelf. Oh, God, it's not. Oh, right, we're filming it now. And yeah, just every step of the way, we're like, bloody hell. Yeah, it's very nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there, you know, you don't have to, when one of the characters is a robot, you don't have to worry about them, you know, getting sick. That's nice. That's a sturdy player you've got right there.
Yeah.
They didn't know it was a guy in a box. They didn't realize he's just as dangerous. All right. So speaking of robots, I got to know, starting with you, Dan, do you have a favorite robot movie?
Oh, wow. I mean,
yeah,
it's tough because
that'd be a tough one.
I remember we did it when I was a Screen Junkies for years and years before this. And we did a video that was like best movie robots. And the comments section was all about why what we said were robots weren't robots. They're like, well, that's not a robot. That's an Android. And that, well, a robot's an automaton. And that's, so C-3PO is not a robot because obviously it's, so it's like, I don't even know. I mean, is it offensive if I say the Iron Giant is a robot? Because I feel like some people will legitimately get offended.
I think it's a large robot.
I would call the Iron Giant a robot, and thus I would say that's one of the best robot movies ever made. But then I think that people would get angry that I was like minimizing the Iron Giant by calling him a robot.
Oh, you can be more than a robot.
I'm calling him a robot. Maybe history will judge me poorly, but I am calling the Iron Giant a robot, and I'm saying that is like maybe the best robot movie ever made.
I mean, I subscribed to a channel I saw it on, and the channel is called Robot Plus. It's all the top robot movies. I think it qualifies as a robot movie, but you're right. When somebody makes a top 20 robot movie list, there's going to be people going to pick at it like crazy because of how much of a robot the person is. Could we decide right now that it comes down to artificial intelligence and it doesn't matter what it is inside? What it's, you know, or how much of it.
Right. If it's metal.
It just be
metal,
as long as there's some artificial intelligence.
Yes.
It's not skin and bone.
For the sake of argument, I think, maybe.
Well, I feel like if it has artificial intelligence, it's still technically a robot, right?
See, that's what we got into with this argument, because they're like, no, because a robot's an automaton. So then that is not a robot. I'm like, all right, whatever.
But automaton that, like, realize it gains sentience. You know what I mean? It's like if a car was able to start thinking, you know what I mean?
Right. Exactly. It trust me, it's a whole can of worms. So perhaps the broader definition is best. I don't
know. Yeah. It really does become, when does a piece of mechanics become a robot? And when does a robot have intelligence?
Yeah, you know, exactly.
These are stages that have to be determined by somebody.
Yeah. I think they covered this in the Animatrix.
I think they did. Yes.
I think you're very right about that. So, Frank, do you have a favorite robot movie?
Iron Giant was actually going to be my pick, too. That is the one movie where, like, I cry describing the ending to people.
Like, I can't. Because you're sad that you're ruining the ending for people?
I mean, just because of how sad that movie is. It's such a good movie.
And it really
Finch
is.
Also, Finch.
Oh, yeah. Finch is the Tom Hanks one with the dog and the robot.
Oh, yeah. When we were editing Brian and Charles, we saw that come out. And oh, no. Sounds exactly the same.
We got to get a dog. What I love about Finch is you look at the poster as Tom Hanks, a robot, and a dog that's like, I guess, a terrier or something. And then all it says is Finch. And to me, it's like, well, that could be any of those three. Any of them could be Finch.
That's hilarious.
You know what I mean? I need a little bit more information. But I've heard from people like our friend Frank Castillo here that it's a great movie. But is that just because you love robots, Frank?
I think it's because I love Tom Hanks.
Okay. Mm. Well, you're going to have to check out Brian and Charles. That doesn't have Tom Hanks, but it does have robots.
Bye. Yeah, I saw the trailer for
it's
the movie.
It's got robots.
Something I look forward to watching.
That's awesome. You can see it in theaters now.
Am I going to cry? Because the way you're describing it, it sounds like I'm going to cry.
You're going to cry laughing.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, that was terrible. I sound like I'm on the publicity team for the movie.
No, I'm loving it. I'm really enjoying it.
I like the idea of people seeing this movie in theaters because I feel like it'd be fun to laugh together at this, you know, particular movie. That's the vibe I'm getting, sight unseen.
Someone sent us a tweet this morning that they were sat behind a woman in the theater and she just went, oh, this is silly, and got up and walked out after 10 minutes.
I love a silly movie. Come on.
What was she expecting?
If you're not into kind of pine cones being glued on bags, it would wind you up a bit, I suppose. Yeah. So I see her point a little bit.
So fucking funny.
I'm going to go see this drama today about a Welsh farmer who builds his own robot. It looks like a very serious drama. Silliness involved.
But this is so funny to me that she's just like, oh, this is silly.
And out loud. Yeah, really angry with it. Yeah.
For the title, Brian and Charles, did you have to consider whether or not to actually use the word and or ampersand? Did you actually pick?
Oh God! We just went for the and.
Oh, you don't care how anybody spells it. It just means and, right? It doesn't matter if it's an ampersand or.
I haven't even thought about the ampersand. Option.
Yeah.
I think if they put an ampersand in there, I would have gone, what are they doing that for?
Well, because you have like an ampersand when it's two people, like you and the other person you wrote it with, have an ampersand between your names because you did it together.
Right.
So are Brian and Charles together in some way, or are they just two individuals with an and in between?
Oh, wow.
That's a deep question.
It's half 10 at night here. Jesus
Christ. I mean, you should.
I'll email you the answer.
just imagine the things I'd be asking you if I'd seen the movie.
You're really clutching at straws here.
All right, so before we get into the games portion of the show, I like to ask all of my guests to just recommend one movie, and we'll start with you, Frank. What's your recommendation this time? I think you were on the record once before with Finch. What have you got for us this time?
Oh shit, it was on Netflix. I think it's this foreign movie. Shit, I gotta look it up. It's called
tell me a little bit more about it. Don't look things up. It makes it seem like you're cheating later in the show.
Oh no, I'm gonna tell you. I'm trying to remember what it was. I think it's like Sins of the Devil or something like that. It's about this woman who used to work for an author who wrote like scary like serial killer books.
Right. And this all sounds familiar. This all sounds like something I didn't watch, but I saw.
He makes like an attempt, makes like a pass at her at work, and then like this huge lawsuit, and then like really fucked up shit starts happening to her and her family. And it's like a really great movie. It doesn't. Okay.
All right. So it's on Netflix, and it's
I'll have to think of it. Give me a sec.
I mean, any movie title's got devil in it, I'm already like going to mix it up with something else because the devil's all over the place in titles.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to David. Could you please recommend a movie?
Does it have to be new?
No, it could be from just something you think people should see, or that you just particularly like. So
Your audience probably know, but my favorite movie is American Movie, the documentary.
Yes,
so good.
That's a terrific one. You, I think you win already.
Oh, it's so good. Have you met him?
Yeah.
Have you had him on the podcast?
No, I have not met him or had him on the podcast, but I'm certainly not against the idea because. That movie's really it's terrific.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's hard for a documentary to be like funny like a movie where all the comedy was planned. You know, like it's just it's so beautiful how it worked out.
That was definitely an influence for Brian and Charles. That movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It feels scripted. It feels like it was written. Like
it does, isn't it?
I don't know if I'd believe that it was fake if it came out today. I'd be like, someone's pulled my leg.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so good.
All right. So who does that leave?
Oh, The Wrath of God. Now I remember it.
The Wrath of God. So it's got, is that the one with Nicolas Cage?
No. This is like, I think this movie's from like Italy or some shit.
I think his is called just Wrath of God with no the, but I think he was in a Wrath of God thing because I can picture, you know, Nicolas Cage face screaming.
I know there's an old Western movie called The Wrath of God.
Yeah, it's one of those titles. I've spoken of this before on the show. I'm not liking that things can just like there's this new movie, this new Adam Sandler movie that I liked about basketball called Hustle. But it's like there's a movie in the 70s with Burt Reynolds called Hustle. Like, what? You can't think of something else? Like, it has to be just the same exact name as a previous thing?
Mm-hmm. Hustle, the non-Burt Reynolds movie.
Yeah.
It's like The Gift, that movie. I remember there was a great Sam Raimi movie, I think, called The Gift. And then Jason Bateman and Joel Edgerton are in a movie. It's also like, called The Gift. So now I have to specify. Too.
Yeah. Okay. You can't say the special gift or the unusual gift or anything.
Yeah.
It's confusing. It's a different title. Would it kill you? all right. So Dan, could you give us a recommendation? I mean, you've been seeing everything lately. It sounds like.
I see as much as I can in theaters. I would recommend The Black Phone, which is a great movie. That's directed by Scott Derrickson. It stars Ethan Hawke as this guy called the Grabber who kidnaps kids and locks them in his basement. And it's like survival. It's not like awful, like depressing. It's like a survival story. It's really, really good. And then on Netflix, there's a film from India called RRR or RRR.
Oh my God.
It's so good. I just watched, it's 3 hours long. It feels like it's an hour and a half. It's so good.
I have not, dug in and watched it yet because I can tell I'm going to love it, but I also, the 3 hours is, you know, quite daunting, especially because I'm sure a great deal of that is actually pretty terrifying stuff with, wild animals.
I mean, yeah, it's, I think the lady who walked out of Brian and Charles would really think this movie is silly because it is all over the place. I mean, it is just like, it is bonkers. It's bonkers in such a good way.
Wow.
All right. So I did get an email from somebody like the second it came on, just going, just do yourself a favor and watch it. Just don't worry about it. And then I saw that it was 3 hours long and I watched a brief clip and I was like, I don't know if I can handle 3 hours, but I will give it a go. But wait, so what was the other? So you have to pick one though. You just need to decide on one right now. So you want to.
All right. Well, I guess RRR will be on Netflix no matter what. So I'll pick The Black Phone because it's a great little, it's being sold as a horror movie. It's more of a thriller. And, they make decisions based on how many people go to see things. So I will settle on The Black Phone. I'll say that's.
Let's get people to go out to the theaters and see Black Phone.
Yes.
It's funny that I've always enjoyed when Ethan Hawke does his yelly voice. You know, I got to see him in a play on Broadway where he had got all yelly voice at one point, and you know how loud and scary and intimidating it is. And then for it to now be in a horror movie, I find that delightful.
Yes. It's a good contrast. He goes from like gravelly Ethan Hawke to like yelly Ethan. It's a good performance. He's good in it.
All right. These are great, great recommendations. Thank you for those. And we're going to play some games right after these messages.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We are back, and the first game we're going to play today, I mean, you'll figure out why we're doing this as soon as I tell you about it. It's called You Robot, Me Robot. And here's how it works. I'll say a fact. Could be fun, could be not so fun. But either way, you tell me if that fact applies to the movie I, Robot, or the movie Chappie, or both.
God, I've never seen them.
You've never seen I, Robot, or Chappie?
No. That's terrible. Okay. That's all right. I can.
Well, that'll make you just, I think you'll still remain competitive because yeah. I don't know how much these other gentlemen know about either of those movies.
Not much. I'll tell you that much. Not all.
And sometimes you can just figure it out because here's what's going to happen is Frank's going to go first. I'm going to give him a fact and then he's going to tell me I, Robot, Chappie, or both. If he gets it wrong, then it goes to David. Now it's been narrowed down to two. So you just pick one of the two remaining ones. And if you miss it, then it goes to Dan and he gets the gimme point on that first one. And each time somebody gets a point, the next person goes first in the next round. And there's just a few rounds.
All right.
There's so little you need to know about these films to take a guess. But sometimes it's fun to figure it out. So Frank, here is the first fact is based on a book. And your options once again are I, Robot, Chappie, or both.
I feel like I, Robot is based on a book.
But not Chappie, you're saying?
Not Chappie.
So not Chappie, not both I, Robot, and Chappie. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
That is correct, sir. You did it. You cracked the code right out of the gate. You figured out that iRobot is based on literature and Chappie is based on God knows what. An idea the screenwriters had. All right. So Frank's on the board with 1 point, but that means David gets to go first on this next one. Are you ready, David?
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. I, Robot, Chappie, or both is rated PG-13 by our system, which I'm not sure how it differs from your current system. But our PG-13 means you should be 13 to get in, but nobody cares. Nobody checks. Brian and Charles, of course, is a PG.
What's a PG? What's PG? Exactly.
It means like there must be like one, somebody must say shit, or maybe there must be something that's just a little bit saucy.
I guess it's a little bit saucy.
But, but so little. It takes so little. Like nobody wants to be rated G anymore because then that means it's strictly for children. And now there's so many animated movies that are, you know, for all ages that it's real stigma to say you're rated G. So I'm sure even if you didn't have, somebody would have to fart or something in your movie to get you, they would insist you get the PG and not get saddled with a G for being too sweet.
I think the bullies probably took it up to a PG.
Oh, there you
That's go. That's enough to bump it up to a PG.
Bullies will totally take any movie up an extra.
And they do a lot of farting as well. Yeah.
unbeknownst the farting bullies are really a one-two punch.
They should have done it.
You're lucky you dodged an R, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been too much.
Yeah. Both.
You're going with both of those.
Yeah.
You're saying that a Chappie and iRobot are both rated PG-13. Mm. I'm sorry, David. That is incorrect. Dan, What does that leave you with? What do you think it is?
I believe I'm 90% sure that iRobot was not rated rated R because it was a big Will Smith tentpole movie. So I'm going to say that only iRobot was rated PG-13.
Okay, so is rated PG-13. iRobot is correct. You did it. Congratulations.
Thank you.
But Frank, this game is yours to lose. Also, the first game doesn't matter, David.
No.
Don't let this affect you at all. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
First game okay. doesn't matter.
All right.
Wait till you hear what the prize is for winning the first game. It's not worth the trouble.
Okay.
Frank?
Yep.
iRobot, Chappie, or both has the song Superstition by Stevie Wonder in it.
Just iRobot.
You're going just iRobot has Superstition by the great Stevie Wonder. That's your answer.
Mm-hmm.
I love how you stick to your answers, Frank, especially when you're right. That is correct. You win. This one time only game called You Robot, Me Robot. Congratulations, Frank Castillo. I'll tell you what you won right after this break. We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're back, and Frank won our first game, which is so appropriate because has anybody seen that movie Robot and Frank?
Yeah, with Frank Langella?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I know of it.
Yeah, it's a real thing. And we're here talking about robots with Frank. This is so fun. I gotta, you know, give a little extra to the booking agent this week. This is terrific. okay, so Frank won. He's in the position to go first in our second and final game. That's all he won by winning that first game, is he just gets to go first in this next game. Only becomes an advantage, really, if we go to a tiebreaker, because everybody gets one turn to go first. It will rotate who goes first in each round. But the game we're going to play is called Filmily Feud. It's like Family Feud, the TV game show, but you know, with film references and questions.
All right.
Yeah. So I will give you the question that I posed to the internet, and then each of you will guess which one you think got the highest percentage of votes by, you know, just random people on Twitter. And not that the people themselves are random, but I just mean whoever answers the poll, I don't know who they are. So sometimes, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes they answer truthfully, and other times they answer like they're on the internet answering questions. so you just don't know where it's going to go. So it's kind of fun to try to figure it out. And so I'll tell you what I posted, what question I posted, and the four options that I gave them in advance. I just had to narrow these down to just four options. And then Frank will go first. Frank will choose between the four options, which one he thinks gets the highest percentage. And the other two will choose after that. After Frank will go to Dan and then to David. And then around like that, each time you each get to pick one, and then I'll tell you the percentages, and that's the number of points you get. So we'll start with Frank. The question I posed, didn't even put a question mark. I just wrote best movie robot. And, you know, I turned off the comments because I didn't need to hear it from people, which ones really are robots and which ones aren't for some reason. And the four that I picked for them to choose from were Bumblebee from, you know, Transformer stuff, Baymax from Big Hero 6, Wall-E from the film of the same name, or, of course, Hal from 2001 Space Odyssey.
Ooh.
So, Frank, you go first. Out of those four, which one do you think people think is the best movie robot? And, of course, these people have not met Charles yet, so we don't need to even...
Yeah.
He's going to go rocketing up the list, yeah, I'm sure.
I would have to say Wall-E.
You're going Wall-E.
Yeah, he saved humanity.
Oh, okay. So that makes him the best robot. I don't know. I'm not even sure what quality is going to be.
Yeah, that was the thing. Because it's like, if we're talking about like the best evil robot, Hal, you know?
Yeah. Dan, what do you think?
It's tough because I'm not answering. I have to answer based on potential Twitter answers, which is very, it is a quagmire. All right. I'm going to try not to second guess myself too much. I'm going to go with Hal. The Hal, okay, from 2001. I'm going to pick Hal.
That's reasonable. Now, David, this is the only round where you have to pick third. So you're left with what you're left with, which is Bumblebee.
That guy.
Or Baymax.
Bumblebee. That guy. Bumblebee.
You like that Bumblebee guy?
Yeah, I like the sound of him. Yeah. Yeah. No one's gone for him, is that, have they?
You know, the internet, I don't know exactly how they feel about Bumblebee, but in this particular poll, they were not kind to Bumblebee.
Okay.
As it turns out, Bumblebee came in fourth place with only 8% of the vote.
Yeah. Oh, that's a shame.
But those 8% are probably super into Bumblebee. And then next in line after Bumblebee was Hal. Maybe because the movie's too old or something, only got 16%.
Mm-hmm. I should have known that to pick the old movie. What was I thinking?
I don't know. Yeah, it's hard to tell sometimes what sticks with people and what doesn't. And then Baymax got 17%. And Wall-E walked away. And it's not a spring chicken. That's not a recent movie. Wall-E walked away at 59%.
Ooh. Yeah, that's humanity.
Yeah, right. So Frank's got a hot lead for a second at 59 points, and Dan's got 16, David's got 8, but I'm telling you, it's anybody's game at this point.
The best I've ever done on the team.
And Dan starts us off on this next round, and then David, and then Frank. Dan, what do you think? These Twitter monsters, my Twitter babies. What do you think they responded to when I wrote worst movie robot?
Mm.
Worst one. Same choices. Bumblebee, Baymax, Wall-E, Hal. This is the question of the fickleness of the internet. These two questions were asked within minutes of each other.
Oh, this is so tough. I think... I don't know your audience personally yet. I haven't yet met all of them individually, but I think that you cultivate a bit of a cinephile audience perhaps. And so I'm going to say perhaps the ill will toward the Transformers franchise carried over to Bumblebee, and I will pick Bumblebee as their pick for the worst movie robot.
Okay.
Hmm.
David, what do you think of the remaining?
I feel like my timing in this game's
options
hasn't helped me. What was the second one? Baymax.
Baymax, Wall-E, or Hal?
Okay. So when you say worst, as in most forgettable.
I wish I knew what I meant by worst. Or what they were thinking when they answered, okay. Because it's just worst. Because it could be like, you know, like the one that's worst to mankind, like, you know, like an evil robot or worse.
I'm going
to
go for Hal in case they thought that.
What's that?
I'm going to go for Hal in case they were thinking that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So David's got Hal, and that leaves our good old Baymax and Wall-E to Frank to choose from.
Baymax.
Okay. What do you want to hear first? The one that got the least amount or the one that got the most? Let's go with least.
All right.
Because nobody picked it. WALL-E only got 10%. Mm. I guess WALL-E doesn't do anything, you know, that we can judge it for. Is it, does WALL-E have a sex? Does WALL-E recognize as something?
I believe WALL-E is a he.
He identifies as a male robot because he hits on that one girl robot.
I mean, I haven't asked, but that's my assumption.
We're making assumptions about their shapes, basically. the shapes and the voices.
Very male.
Who's that?
I said WALL-E's very male shaped. He's all blocky.
Yeah. Yeah, and the other one, Eve, has got curves. But we're not talking about her right now. Let's take her out of the picture. Or maybe that's why people thought that he's the worst, because he's, you know, hooking up with a cute robot. You know, those people on Twitter, they don't get, you know, they don't get enough. enough. What? Baymax got 14%, Frank. You got a little bit more than you would have gotten with WALL-E, so you were sort of cornered there. But you got 14 points for that. And then next in line is Hal, but with a pretty decent number, 37%.
Mm. Ooh.
Mm. Uh-huh. And then just a little bit above that is, of course, Bumblebee with 39%. So Dan sniffed that one out, figured that out. All right. So, David, you got to go first on the third round. That's going to... There's rarely a tie in this game, so this one's really, it's all about this one. I asked Twitter the following: best Julia Robots movie. The options are Mystic Robot, Pretty Robot, Robots 11, or Aaron Robotovich.
Aaron Robotovich.
Is the best Robots movie, you think?
Yeah. I think I might win this tournament.
I love that. This is the first time anybody's called it a tournament. I appreciate that. everybody turn on the echo on your vocals. We're in the Coliseum now. And we're down to Frank. Which one do you... like to pick?
What are my options again?
Your options are Mystic Robot, Pretty Robot, or Robots 11.
Robots 11.
She was in Robots 12, of course, but not Robots 13. you're going 11?
Yeah.
Frank goes 11, everybody. All right, Dan. Crucial choice here. That leaves you with... what do you think of these remaining options? A Mystic Robot or Pretty Robot?
Well, I'm going to lean into the nature of the internet here. And from what I've seen, Pretty Robots tend to be somewhat popular amongst the internet crowd. So I'm going to select Pretty Robot. Final answer.
You're going Pretty Robot, eh?
Yes.
Interesting. I'm tallying the scores. I guess I could tell you these in the meantime. You all sniffed it out again. Mystic Robot only got 8%. You know, it was Julia Robot's first films.
An early work, yeah.
Yeah, so it really took Pretty Woman for things to take off. So that got 23%.
Mm.
So that adds to a 23 to Dan's score. He's got 15, he's got 18, 78 total.
Mm.
All right. And then who's left? Oh, Robots 11, 26%.
Ooh.
Giving Frank a total of 99 points.
Ooh.
David went with Aaron Robotovich. 43%.
Woo!
Adds 43 points to his score for a total of 88 points. It's shy by 11 points of Frank's 99 points. Congratulations, Frank. You did it. You're our winner today. We will have you back on the show very soon, but you get to do your plugs first. What would you like to plug?
Yeah, I'm on the road in North and South Carolina, opening up for Pauly Shore. And then I am have a great podcast called Peaked on YouTube and Peaked TV on Instagram. Follow me, Frank Castillo. Thank you so much.
Thank you, man. That was a good job you did there. Would you say going into today that your enjoyment of robots on film helped lead to this big win?
Oh, absolutely. I it was so funny you picked iRobot because it's like that was one of my more favorite movies when it came out.
All right. Well, congratulations. That's how these things work out sometimes. You know, your intense knowledge of iRobot really paid off. Who wrote the book that was based on?
I do not know.
I think it may have been Isaac Asimov.
Isaac Asimov. You show him off. congratulations for knowing that. And David, I hope you don't feel bad that I tried to, you know, gear it to all robots in your honor and it backfired on me.
No, not at all.
And we got this other guy over here who knows more about robots for some reason.
Yeah. I don't know anything about robots.
I really think that this shows that what an original take on robots your film is going to be, because you don't seem to know anything about previous robot films.
Yeah, exactly.
This was an excellent test.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've been promoting this movie. It's playing here in the United States as of a couple days ago. And everybody that I, you know, read on Twitter talking about it, everybody finds it delightful, but the buzz has been great all the way back since Sundance. And what else is there to know about it at this time? Is there any other announcements surrounding it?
Not only that it's out in the UK on July the 8th.
So it hasn't even opened there yet.
No.
You still got a lot more promoting to do.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but that's exciting. I don't know how it's going to go down. I mean, yeah. So July the 8th in the UK.
Wait, there's a chance that they won't be enjoyed in the UK, you think?
Well, whenever we make anything, I'm like, well, no one's going to like this. So if anyone likes it, it's always a real... Yeah.
I see. It's your overall worldview. It's not necessarily...
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I feel like you made it in that language, so I think they'll appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know, if you made a movie with a robot going beep, boop, 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 then that could be, you know, that could be anywhere.
Not interested in that.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's, what do you have plans for something next, or are you still just trying to get over the release everywhere of the movie?
So I'm writing a horror with the director of Brian and Charles, and me and Chris, who wrote Brian and Charles, we're writing this thing at the moment, and yeah, it's all really early stages though, so yeah.
I mean, that sounds awesome that you have something that you all want to do together again.
Yeah, we found a little idea that's excited us, so yeah, hope, fingers crossed.
All right. Well, we'll look for that. But in the meantime, everybody, including myself, needs to see Brian and Charles We're not sure if it needs to be an ampersand. Could just be the word and.
No. If you're thinking about that, then you.
Yeah. You've really not. Your head is
you're not,
not
focusing
right
on the movie.
If you are worried about the ampersand, wait till you see the guy in the box.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
It's not for picky people. No. Or annoying people. But thank you so much for being here. And
thanks for having me.
And Dan Merle.
Yes.
What have you got to plug besides all the millions of things you're doing?
Yeah, I'm on YouTube, youtube.com/Dan Merle Movies. That's where you can find me doing box office and reviews. And I've already told my viewers they're going to get sick of me talking about Brian and Charles. So three of them said they went to see it. So that's upwards of like $36.
Oh, there you gross. Go.
So, you know, I know every little bit.
What do I say of that?
I don't know what the conversion rate is currently. No. I'd have to look at the currency exchange rate. But no, go find Brian and Charles. Hopefully.
Thank you, though.
I don't know the streaming plans here in the US, but maybe hopefully soon to watch on streaming. I don't know. Just go find
Peacock.
It.
For is it. That right?
Peacock? Yeah. Like they have a thing with Peacock after X days to maybe stream, but go find it. You're not going to be sorry.
Yeah. Don't worry about streaming. Streaming might not be a thing anymore in a few weeks. Go see the movie in a theater right now.
In fact,
cut it off before I do my plugs. That's how strongly I feel about you should go see it immediately. But I do have a few things I wanted to plug. And thank you, Dan Merle. July 10th, I'm doing stand-up at in Huntington Beach at a club called The Rec Room. That's an afternoon matinee show. And on Sunday, July 17th, Doug Loves Movies returns to the Dynasty Typewriter in the Hayworth Theater in Los Angeles with some fantastic guests, not unlike my amazing guests today. For all of my dates, go to DougLovesMovies.com. And thank you once again to Frank Castillo, who'll be back soon. David Earl, who the door is always open when this next one, the horror movie, comes out. Please come, see us again. And by that I mean, call us from wherever you're sitting. And and Dan Burrell, thank you again to you, dude. Sorry, it's been so long before your first time, but we'll have you back as often as you like.
Oh, anytime. Let me know. I'd love it. I had a great time.
All right. Well, I'll pencil you in for about 7 or 8 years from now. As always, so I close with a closing line from a movie each time. And that includes this one. And I'll give you a hint before I say it. It's the closing lines from what some would call a robot movie. As always, I didn't know how long we'd have together. Who does?
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in